First, we've got the newest figures on COVID-19 cases here in Wisconsin. The Department of Health Services says there were 663 new cases, but only about 9,400 tests. That's the fourth straight day with fewer than 10,000 of those tests. The percentage of positive cases ticked up to 7%. 8 people died. Lately, the news has been getting a little better for Wisconsin on the COVID front. After topping 1,000 positive cases on 3 separate days earlier this month, the average for the past 7 days is 720. In late July, that was 930. That's when Chicago added Wisconsin to its quarantine list, meaning you had to isolate yourself for 2 weeks before you could go visit the Bean. Yesterday, Chicago removed Wisconsin from that list. Dr. Patrick Remington is Professor Emeritus at UW-Madison School of Medicine and Public Health. Dr. Remington, good to have you back with us.
Good to be back, Rob.
Dr. Remington, I look at these numbers all the time as part of my job. As a person, I'm grasping at straws to find good news. It seems like this decline in cases in Wisconsin, I can read that as good news. Is that fair?
I think it's fair. I think if you step back from the data, you know, day to day, and just look at the trend, and anybody can do that if you just Google DHS for Department of Health Services and COVID, you'll get to their website. It's a great website. You know, it's updated daily, but you can just stand back and look at the graphic for what has happened in trends in the number of cases reported, the incidence of COVID-19. And you'll see that there was an increase until the end of May. And then there was a really great turnaround. But then it started going back up. And it peaked at the end of July, as you mentioned in the intro, at about 1,000 cases. And since the end of July, in the last 2 to 3 weeks, we've been seeing a slow but progressive decline. And that's good news. That means that people are doing what they need to do, more so than they were doing at the end of May and at the end of July when we saw increasing cases.
Yeah, talk a little more about that. I know it can be hard sometimes to attribute cause and effect, as we were just hearing. It can be hard to sort out the data in a way that tells a story. What do you think would be causing this downward trend in positive tests in Wisconsin?
Well, again, I agree with your previous guest that good data are essential. And I think as long as we have these long-term trends, we can rely on them to say that we see a general decrease in the incidence. And we can't pinpoint that. We don't know if people are just spending more time outside. August has been a pretty nice month as far as weather. That could be a factor. It could be that people have started wearing masks more as information has become available that it's not only a good way to protect others, but there's increasing evidence that it's a good way to protect yourself. And there are rules now at businesses and in some communities where masks are required. So I think all of these things, physical distancing, staying outside and wearing the mask if you're going to be inside or closer to people than you should be. All of those things could be coming together and causing this big trend. But again, just around the corner, we have school starting, we have university starting. So we have to pay attention to not just doing a good job over the first few weeks of August, but really continuing this into the fall.
Yeah. And on the also on the downside of things, I'm watching the national numbers. We're seeing an average of a little over 1,000 deaths a day nationwide, not the concentrated disaster we saw back in April in the New York City area, but not good. What do you make of the national numbers you're seeing?
Well, the national numbers, as in Wisconsin, show that there's not one place in this country, not one place in the world that is going to escape COVID-19. The interesting thing within Wisconsin, it's almost a microcosm of the nation in that we began with outbreaks in our urban centers in Milwaukee, in Brown County, from an occupational outbreak at a meatpacking plant. And then it began to spread to suburban and more populous communities. But now, if you look at the top 10 counties in the last 7 days, 9 of them are rural counties when you look at the rate per capita. And that's really important. You can't just count cases because bigger places are going to have more cases. They have more people. You want to look at the per capita or the rates. And when you do that, some counties like Sawyer County or Marinette County, they have the highest risk of spreading COVID of any place in the state. And that's just like we're seeing in the nation as rates begin going up in some rural states and are going down in some northeast urban centers.
One more factor we've got to watch is the number of tests we're doing in Wisconsin. I know there's some concern that we've dipped down under that 10,000 a day mark. Are we doing enough testing? If not, why not?
Well, testing is pretty complicated in that it takes an interaction with either a testing center or a healthcare provider. People may have gotten tested and gotten a negative result and feel that that's good for now. Well, if you have symptoms and if you have exposures, you need to retest. We are seeing more tests available, but people are really looking to have that test become more rapid, so that that information, you really want to act on that information. If somebody's positive, you want to isolate them immediately and contact their anybody who's been near them and have them go into quarantine. And by waiting a couple of days or 3 or 4 days, that effectiveness of that contact tracing becomes much less. So we really want not just more tests, but we want tests with a quicker turnaround so that we can act on it and people can do what they need to do to isolate themselves if they're sick and they're infected, and also then quarantine anybody who's been in close contact with them.
Talking to Dr. Patrick Remington, Professor Emeritus at UW-Madison School of Medicine and Public Health, looking at some of the latest COVID-19 data here in Wisconsin. Some good news, with a lot of question marks still out there, but at least the number of positive tests has been going down recently here in Wisconsin. Dr. Remington, it is, as you mentioned, back to school season. We've already seen around the country some colleges open and then go to virtual right away after outbreaks. What can we do to make sure, as we try to reopen institutions, whether it's a campus, a school, a business, whatever, that we aren't opening 1 week and having to close a week later because we're spreading this thing?
Well, first, it would be great if we had some precedent to look at how to do this. But this is the first time this virus has circulated in our country, the first time we've attempted to open schools and universities. So we're learning. We're learning from other universities around the country. And I think there are ways to have instruction that is in person, but through the use of masks and having low density or people spread out. We know that that works in healthcare settings and in other indoor places, so it can work in an educational setting. But when people come back to school, they may go outside, they may gather on a playground if they're kids, or they may gather socially on campus. And we hope that they heed the advice of public health experts and of the leadership at universities. But this is going to be a trial. And other universities have seen early evidence of outbreaks and decided to pull the plug early. We'll know very quickly. Students are returning to UW-Madison next week. And so we'll test every student as they arrive in the dormitories and be able to then monitor them very closely over time. So I think a combination of good education, good instructions to students about what it means to be safe, and then good testing and intervening with isolation and contact tracing for people who need to be quarantined. And that's the kind of the bread and butter of how you control an epidemic. And I think it can work if everybody plays their part and everybody helps. But it doesn't take too many people not to really follow good practices to spoil it. And, time will tell what will happen in Wisconsin.
I know there's a lot of attention to treatment. There have been some positive developments at the hospital level, sometimes really simple interventions like turning a person over. How are we doing on treatment for people who catch this and are feeling the worst effects?
Well, we have to be very careful to make sure that sort of the treatment of the day that gets announced is not assumed to be effective. It takes a while to learn about effective treatment. It takes carefully designed, randomized, controlled trials where you compare one intervention to the other. A lot of information that we get comes from what we call observational studies, where you simply observe people who've had one treatment versus the other. And those can be tremendously biased. Some people might take an antacid or another medication And they're different than people who don't. And so just because you see better outcomes in people who are observed to be doing a certain thing or taking a certain medicine doesn't mean that's going to be effective when it's actually studied. So I recommend people sort of not read the headlines and the news about a promising treatment. I recommend they talk with their healthcare provider about treatments that have been shown to be effective. And those are relatively few. There are some promising treatments that have gone into clinical trials. But right now, there's been marginal improvement in the treatment effectiveness.
We're having these kind of daily arguments. Should we open school? Shouldn't we? Should Big Ten play football? Shouldn't they? Things like that. But those are kind of symptoms, right? Is the underlying story our success or failure at controlling this thing overall?
Well, the underlying story is the virus. This virus is wicked in that it has an ability to spread before people get symptomatic. It has an ability to spread through the air, maybe even further than 6 feet. Sometimes people, the good news is sometimes people are asymptomatic, but that's also a problem in that asymptomatic people might go out and not wear a mask and connect with other people. So I think the story is that this virus has characteristics that make it incredibly hard to control. And so it makes things like opening up schools and universities extremely complex. There are many things that have to work together to be successful. And as we've seen with other campuses, Michigan State and Notre Dame, not everything was working as they thought it might. And so the alternative, a distance-based education, I think at the university level works quite well. I think many people are going to be teaching in the fall at UW using distance technology. And so that's not a terrible thing if we have to resort to distance-based technologies. And certainly it's safe. People are not coming together in large gatherings using distance-based teaching.
Dr. Remington, thanks a lot for joining us again today.
Thanks for having me, Rob.
Dr. Patrick Remington is a professor emeritus at UW-Madison School of Medicine and Public Health. We talked to him today about the recent COVID-19 trends here in the state.